Baptist Church because Jesus is God on mission to save the world. And because we are followers of Jesus Christ, and because He is God on mission, we cannot help be missionaries. Today is Missions Day here at our church, but really every Sunday is, and we have heard testimonies, we've shared testimonies in particular today of just the different mission ministries that our church and people in our congregation are and have been involved in. And what I'd like to do this morning, because one of the blessings of the service so far has just been the Word of God as it was just spoken from the pew. And what I want to do is I want to go to the 10th chapter of Romans, and I want to invite you to open your Bibles there right now. And I want to help put all of this ingathering business and this mission business in the context of who we are, again, as Christians and as a church. And my heart's desire is that we wouldn't just see missions as what other people do or some people go do, but my heart's desire is that we would see ourselves individually, each one of us, right in the middle, in the heart of God's mission to this world. And this is vital because of the Word of God. We are missionaries, and we're a missionary Baptist church because of what the Scripture teaches us, because the Scripture instructs us. The Bible is, the Bible lays the foundation for who and what we are as missionaries. And in particular, here in this 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about this very thing. And he's trying to bring the Roman church to this place. He's trying to help each individual member of the church see their responsibility or their place in this mission movement, if you will. And I want to pick up or begin, there's plenty of other stuff we could say, but I want to pick up in verse 13, one of the most important verses in all the Bible. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good tidings or good things. But all did not obey the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our message? So, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ or the message about Christ. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word." Now, what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's laying the theological foundation for the missionary movement throughout the centuries, but also for us individually as a church, for the church there in Rome, and for us as well. And what he does is he puts in context for us all of the everything that we do, from the going across the street to going across the globe, to our giving, to everything else, every aspect or part of who and what we are as a church, as a missionary Baptist church. And what I'd like to do, or what I'd like to show you this morning, is there are three parts or three things that are part and parcel of missions. And all three of these things have to be in place for God to do everything that He intends to do through the body of Christ when it comes to missions, okay? So three things. So very quickly, let's just walk through them. Number one, the first thing that it takes in order for there to be missions is the lost, or I probably ought to say the hearers, but But I put the lost for a reason. You'll see that here in a minute. There would be no mission whatsoever if it weren't for the fact that there's lost people in this world. And there's not just lost people in this world, there's lost people in this room. Let's just be honest about that for just a second. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. God knows, you know your relationship with God. But there are, statistically, some of us who are going to be sitting in this room, we've never trusted Christ, we've never given our lives to Jesus Christ. There are lost people everywhere. There are lost people in this community of Brazoria. There are lost people in the state of Texas. There are lost people across the United States, increasingly so. And there are lost people all over the world. So our mission is everywhere. And when you're lost, you don't know how to get where you want to go. About 10 years ago or so, when Donna and I first moved down here to Brazoria, we went up to Houston one day, and I don't even remember where we were going or what we were looking for, but we got lost. We were in downtown Houston, and we knew where we thought we wanted to go, but we didn't know how to get there. We had to stop and ask several people along the way, and I am one of those, right, honey, that will stop sometimes. Don't shake your head this way. I will stop and ask, you know, after I've been goaded quite a bit, stop and ask somebody. So I'll stop and say, okay, so how do we get over here? And so then we'll go and we'll steer lost, and then we ask somebody else. Well, when you're lost, right, you don't know how to get where you ought to be or where you want to be. And the Bible says that we are all lost in our sin. Because we were created by God, we were created for God, and every one of us created to have a relationship with God, and there is life in that relationship with God, but sin has separated us from Him. And because we are sinners, we can't get back to God, so we are all lost. Everyone is lost. In fact, in the first 9 chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul spends a great deal of time just detailing that very pit of lostness that the world is found in. In Romans 3:23, for example, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's everybody. And then he says in Romans 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. And that death is separation from God. And so everybody is lost. But beloved, it's not just the lostness of this world that causes us to do missions. In fact, just the fact that everybody is lost doesn't send us on mission. The fact of lostness is true, but there's even a greater fact than that, and that is that God loves lost people. We wouldn't be on mission with God except for the fact that He loves the lost and God is on mission. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16 says. He loves everybody. And it's God's desire that none perish. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Get that, everybody. This is the heart of God. This is the desire of God. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter wrote, He, that is the Lord, is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So as God's people, we are on mission with God because God loves the world, and the world is filled with lost people, and God's desire is to save lost people, and He does it through people like you and me. And there's another very important fact here, and that is that lost people can be saved. This is what Paul says there in verse 13. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that everyone means everyone. There are some people that we would look at and say, there's no way they can be saved. Here in a couple of weeks, we're going to go, some of us are going to go into the prison, and we're going to distribute some blessing bags to the prisoners down here at the Clemens unit. And I'd like to invite you to come be a part of that. You're going to see a lot of hardened criminals in there. And the tendency is to look at those guys and to say they can never be saved. But the truth of Scripture is anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might be, shall be saved. And when you call on the Lord, what you're doing is you are exercising your will, that is the volition within you. You are flinging yourself on the mercy of God through Christ and receiving His grace. And you must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But everyone who does call upon the Lord shall be saved. This is what Peter said on the day of Pentecost after he had preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 2. And the people said, "What must we do?" And he said, "Call on the name of the Lord." He said, "Repent, turn to Him, and you're going to find forgiveness in Him." This is the act of the will. But I want you to notice something has to happen before you can call. He says in verse 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's something that actually precedes you calling on the Lord, and it's found in verse 14. He says, but how can they call on Him they've not believed? So before you can call, you must believe. In fact, belief is actually the work that you must do in order to be saved. Everybody asks, what must I do to be saved? In John chapter 6, Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on the one that He sent. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is in that jail in Philippi with Silas. And there's an earthquake, and the jailer comes in. He's about to kill himself, thinking everyone who has escaped. And Paul says, no, we're still here. Don't hurt yourself. And so he brings a lantern in, and he says, sir, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your house. But what's this? So you got to do the work of God, which is believing. But believing in itself is not enough. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 19, James says the demons believe and they tremble. My guess is probably everybody in this room today is a believer. That is, you believe in Jesus. But believing is not enough. You must believe, and that leads you to call. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So watch this. The Lord speaks us through our minds. We begin to believe, and we begin to receive the things that God has said. But then we must act upon it. We must call upon the name of the Lord. And that's why I say that there are some folks in this room this morning that aren't saved. Maybe you believe, but you've never called on the name of the Lord. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You might have taught it because you can believe and teach it. You might even be a deacon. You might even be a preacher or a pastor. And you believe it with all your heart, but you've never called on the name of the Lord. See, there's lost people right here, right in our community, and everywhere. And they must believe, and they must call upon the Lord to be saved. They will be saved and can be saved when they call upon the Lord. And this is the missionary work of the church. Watch this. So the first aspect of missions is there are lost people everywhere. And this is why we're on mission with God. But the second aspect of missions is the preachers. The preachers. So he said there's lost people everywhere, and everyone who calls upon the Lord can be saved. So to be saved, you got to call. And to call, you got to believe. But then he says, in order to believe, you've got to hear. And if you're going to hear, that means somebody's got to tell you. Look down at verse 14 again, the entire verse. He says, how can they call on Him they've not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? See, there's plenty of lost people everywhere. That's not the problem. The problem is they've got to hear in order to believe, so that they can call upon the Lord, and in order to hear, somebody's got to tell them, now we've got a problem. Because the truth is that most of us don't see ourselves as preachers. This word preacher, by the way, in verse 14, where he says, how can they hear without a preacher? He's not just talking about those who are vocationally called to stand in a pulpit like this and preach a sermon to a congregation. Now that is part of the reality of the church as well. God does call some of us to stand up here and preach from the pulpit. But beloved, He calls each one of us to preach or to share the message of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you, and that you there is plural. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He wasn't just talking about the preachers. He wasn't just talking about the apostles. He was talking about all the disciples, and we are all disciples of Jesus Christ. And as his disciples, we are called to be his witnesses. And you know, when you think about it, it's kind of crazy that God would choose to do it this way. That God would depend on people like us, right? To share this message. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, the Apostle Paul said this, "Since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom." Watch this. The world did not know God through wisdom. God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. In other words, God laid out his purpose in his plan. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son to die for the sins of this world. And then I'm going to entrust that message to my own people, and they're going to share it. And that's how I'm going to reach the world. That's how I'm going to save the world. I guess this is an apocryphal story. It's a story that, I want to be careful here. It's not necessarily a true story that I know about. It's a made-up story, okay? If you'll allow me to tell a made-up story about Jesus. When Jesus ascended into heaven, one of the first ones to meet him was the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel said, Lord, how did it go? And Jesus said, well, it went great, right? I mean, I suffered and died for the sins of the world. I bore the sin of the world on the cross, and I destroyed sin and death and hell on the cross. And grace and mercy now is available to all. And so Gabriel says, so everybody believes and everybody's received that grace? And Jesus says, oh, no, no, only a few. And so Gabriel said, well, how is everybody else in the world going to hear and believe and call, right? And Jesus said, well, I've entrusted the message to my disciples, my people, and they're going to share it. And Gabriel says, well, that's kind of risky, isn't it? I mean, what if they don't share? What if they forget? Or what if something happens? I mean, what if they just decide they're not going to tell anybody? I mean, so what's plan B? What are we going to do in case your people don't or stop telling people about you? What's plan B? What are we going to do then? And Jesus said, I don't have plan B. There's no other way. This is the way it's going to happen. I choose through the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. You see, beloved, we're God's plan and purpose for saving this world. Like I said before, there's plenty of lost people in this world. That's not the problem. The problem is they need to hear in order to believe so that they can call. That's the problem, because somebody has got to teach them. Somebody's got to preach it. Somebody's got to tell them. And increasingly, in our world today, we're leaving the telling and the preaching up to the professionals rather than each one of us seeing that we ourselves are preachers. And somebody say, well, Brother Greg, can't God do something else? And, you know, this past year we did a study called Insanity of Obedience. And one of the things that we discovered is in Hindu cultures, one of the ways God is reaching people is through dreams and visions. They're having dreams and visions, and then God is using that, but somebody always comes along and tells them the truth. And you know, it might very well be that God could use dreams and visions right here in Brazoria. It's quite possible that he's doing it now, and I just haven't heard of it. Quite honestly, I've not heard of anybody in this area having a dream and vision about Christ and then getting saved as a result of that. It may happen. I'm not necessarily familiar with it. In my mind, God is still working through people like you and me, telling people about Jesus. We still are the preachers, and this is still God's plan. Now, somebody say, but Brother Greg, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. Okay. I don't know what to say. Okay. Can you invite somebody? Because one of the things that we do here every Sunday as we gather is we preach the Word of God, and we preach the Bible, and we teach it in our Sunday school classes. I wonder if there's anybody that any of us might invite. Do you know that the truth is that most unchurched people here in Brazoria have never been invited to church? And I say that, I don't know that for a fact because I haven't done a study. It's just my guess. And the reason I say that is because, just a little story. I had the opportunity during the Great Flood of 2017 to meet or to get to know on a superficial level, I guess, one of the checkers in one of the stores here in Brazoria I would go into quite often to get things. And this lady, who is a single lady, she's older, her home was flooded. And so I began to talk to her about that and see if there were ways that we could minister and help. And at one point I just asked her, I said, by the way, do you go to church anywhere? And she said, well, no, I don't. And so then I said, well, can I just ask you a personal question? Interesting for me. Have you ever been invited to church? And this is a lady who lives and works right here in Brazoria. And I would guess that many of us probably have been checked out by her at the local store she works at. She said, no, I've never been invited to church. I wonder how many people, I mean, just right around us, would come to church if somebody just, you know, invited them. You know, this mission offering that we're going to give in just a moment is vital, and our prayers and all of that is vital. But you know what? Our responsibility doesn't end just right here. There's got to be preachers because God has determined through the message preached to save those who believe and those who call. So what's this? There's lost people. That's not the problem. There's preachers. Now that's the problem. But that's the second part of missions. Here's the third part. And that is, there's got to be senders. So there's lost people. There are the preachers, and then there are the senders. So he goes on to say down in verse 15, and how can they preach unless they are sent? Now, let me just point out to you that God is the ultimate sender, okay? When Jesus gathered his disciples and began to teach them, he sent them out two by two. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, go. And make disciples. God is the great sender. So we are all sent by God, right? But those who go have to have some support as well. And so what it turns out is there are some who are called to go beyond just across the counter or across the street. Some are called to go across the state or across the nation or across the world. And every missionary has to have support. You know, our mission offering supports about 5,000 international missionaries all across the globe. We support somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 church planters in the United States who are planting churches all across this nation and all across North America. We support mission work right here in the state of Texas, down on in the Rio Grande Valley and in the large cities and everywhere people are gathering. We're supporting those who are trying to plant churches and reach people, and some who are doing disaster recovery and support. And then our money is supporting missions and everything that we do right here in Brazoria. And the way I think we ought to think about this, I was trying to come up with an illustration to figure out how I could make this meaningful. I got to thinking about July 1969. In July 1969, I was 10 years old, and that makes me 58, by the way, okay? And that year, or that July, I think it happened on a Sunday, because I think we let church out that evening, and we all went over to our house, because Dad had bought a new TV, because we had this little black and white, and he wanted something bigger so that he could see this. Neil Armstrong stepped out on the moon, on the surface of the moon. For the first time ever, a man was walking on the moon. My dad was just fascinated by that. And because of that, I was fascinated. It was really the coolest thing. And then Buzz Aldrin stepped out after that. And man, we saw these guys, picture walking on the moon. What I didn't really realize at that point was there were hundreds of people back down here in a place called the Johnson Space Center Mission Control, and they were doing all the things that were necessary to keep those guys, you know, supported on the moon. There were thousands of other people that had helped put that that rocket ship together, you know, to get them to the moon. I mean, without all of the support that they had, those two guys who became basically rock stars, I mean, it was crazy that they were walking on the moon. They never would have done it without the support of thousands in mission control and in building those space rockets. And beloved, that's the way it is today when it comes to missions. There are people who are called to go all over the world, plant churches and tell people about Jesus. And the work that they do is vital. But they would never be able to do it if it weren't for people like you and me who are sending them. And we do it through our missions offering, and we do it through our prayer. And beloved, this work is vital as well. No one should ever feel guilty about not going across the world. If you don't go to Bulgaria or to Africa or wherever, you should not feel guilty unless God calls you to go. And then you ought to go or feel guilty if you don't go. But while God is still calling people to do that, He's calling most of us to hold the ropes, most of us to be senders through our prayers and through our offerings. And beloved, this is critical, this is vital. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are not or you cannot be an integral, vital part of God's mission to this world. There's plenty of lost people out there, and they need preachers so they can hear and believe and call. And those preachers need senders. This is the way missions work. The lost, the preachers, the senders. And you, Christian, are a testimony to this. Think about it. I mean, God loved you. You were lost. Somebody came and told you that there was a preacher anyway. And somebody actually sent that preacher, because I guarantee you, when you were saved, somebody was praying and somebody was calling on the Lord on your behalf. You are a testimony to the missionary work of God. And now we're called. We're called. We're called to call, and if you've never called on the name of the Lord, today is the day of salvation. We're called to preach. And I just want to challenge you, maybe during this December month, during the Christmas season, find somebody that, maybe it'd be a neighbor, maybe it might be somebody who checks your groceries, somebody that you can just say, hey, you know, I go to church over there, would you come with me? Find somebody that you can just invite and be praying about that, and then be a sender. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to open the altar. And the altar is open if you have a mission offering gift that you would come and like to come and lay on the altar. If you have been one of those who have been giving during the year, I want to encourage you just to come and just say a prayer. Maybe just in a tangible way or visible way, lay your hands on this altar and just say, Lord, I just ask you to multiply that money so that people all over this world can hear about you and they can believe and they can call. But finally, if you're here this morning and you've never called on the name of the Lord, maybe you've believed, maybe you've been a part of the church a long time, or maybe this is the first time you walked in here. You've never called upon the name of the Lord, and you know that you are still lost in your sin. I'm going to invite you to repent of your sin. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. And I'm going to be right up here, and I'm going to invite you to come, and I'd love to talk to you about what it means to turn to Him and follow Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this word. And I pray, Lord, this morning that as we rise on our feet and we respond to your missionary call, Lord, I pray that those who need to be saved, those who have never called on your name, Lord, I just pray today that you would just help them to believe and to take that step where they say, I believe and call. Lord, for those of us who need to be more bold in our witness or in our inviting or however you're leading us to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that check our groceries, whatever it is, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us to be preachers of the gospel, not ashamed, but boldly. Lord, don't let it be said that the church failed because we failed to tell. And then, God, I pray that you would allow us to be senders as well, and that this money that is given, Lord, for this offering, that you would just multiply it and bless it. And God, as we pray for these missionaries and this work, Lord, I pray that you would just, God, we would see a great movement of the Lord beginning right here in Brazoria, Texas, and covering the face of the earth. Lord, thank you that you loved us so much. You sent Jesus, that you were on mission for us. And thank you, Lord, that you invite us to be a part of that as well. So, God, today we just give it up to you as we pray and as we give, as we go, as we preach, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.